Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Generally, the emphasis on Maundy Thursday, this first day of the great 3 days, the most holy days of the entire Christian year, the emphasis is usually on the institution of Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, when Jesus takes the bread and wine and says, "Do this in remembrance of me." And of course, that is an emphasis not only of this day, but of our entire Christian life. Our worship each week is built around doing this ritual in memory of that night, in memory of his death and sacrifice. Which makes it interesting that this ritual isn't mentioned in John's gospel at all. John doesn't talk about Jesus taking the bread and the wine and instituting the sacrament, the ritual of the Lord's Supper. John has a different ritual, that he lays out as central to that final meal that Jesus has with his disciples, the washing of their feet. We would rather talk about the Holy Eucharist, because this is such an odd story. The first thing to notice is that Jesus does this during supper, not before, not after they've already finished. As everyone is at the table sharing the meal before the Passover, Jesus gets up, takes off his clothes so that he's effectively standing there in his undershirt, ties a towel about his waist, and as the disciples sit at the table, fills a basin and begins to wash their feet. How strange. What a strange thing to do, and how much stranger is it for the disciples, because this is Jesus, their teacher, their master, their Lord, the one that they saw turn water into wine at the wedding at Canaan, the one who drove the money changers out of the temple, the one who just days earlier was proclaimed, "Hosanna, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." The one who raised Lazarus from the dead and now kneels at their feet like a common servant. And of course, it's not the cultural difference that makes this uncomfortable. Peter speaks for all of the disciples and for us when he says, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" He can't imagine that such a thing could even be taking place. None of this makes any sense to him. Jesus answers, saying, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." And Peter, of course, proving Jesus' point, says, "You will never wash my feet." He doesn't understand indeed. But who could understand? Peter speaks for all of us, the only one who's brave enough to call attention to the fact that this is undignified and uncomfortable. It is overly familiar. It is not becoming of the one who is proclaimed to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is not the sort of Jesus that we like bending in the dirt. But maybe the reason we don't like it is because of how familiar it is, because of how intimate and vulnerable Jesus seems, taking the feet of his disciples, washing them gently in the water, and drying them with the towel tied around his waist. It's this intimacy, this gentleness, this vulnerability that is the most shocking of all. and not just because of what Jesus is doing, but because of who he's doing it for. In verse 11, John tells us that Jesus knows who is going to betray him. Jesus knows that Judas is going to get up from the supper they share together and go to sell him out, go to hand him over to die. And of course, Jesus knows, he tells Peter later, that for all of his bluster and all of his bravado and all of his big talk, Peter will deny him at the first chance he gets. Each foot that has followed him all the way from Galilee is the foot of a disciple who, at the moment Jesus needs them most, is going to turn around and run away. Jesus knows that he will be betrayed and denied and abandoned. He knows, and he washes their feet anyway. John opens this astounding passage by saying that Jesus had loved his own who were in the world. He loved them to the end. This is an interesting phrase, and it has two meanings. At one level, of course, John is telling us that Jesus loved his disciples all the way to the end of his life. From the moment he called them till the moment he died, he loved these followers. But there's another sense. Jesus loved them to the end, the telos, the goal, the destination, the consummation, the fullness of love itself. He loved them to the end of love, to the love that is at the end of all possible loves. There is no more love that the world could offer than Jesus has for his disciples. He loved them to the end. 2,000 plus years later, we would be lying to ourselves if we thought that any of us would be any different that night. If we're being honest, all of us have betrayed Jesus, have denied him, have run away. We are all Judas and Peter and the disciples. All of us, in a million different little ways, and in some more terrible ways, choose over and over again to love ourselves and our own interests and our own fears and desires more than we love God or the neighbors he would give us. Who among us, if we're being honest, would let Jesus wash our feet? Who among us, if we're being honest, would go with him all the way to the cross? Jesus knows the answer to that question, and he washes us anyway. Jesus tells Peter that you must be, unless I wash you, you have no share in me. All of us, despite our faults and our failings and our fears, have been washed by Jesus in baptism. And this means we have a share with him. We are counted among those disciples, the disciples that he loved to the very end. This is not just a gift, but also a demand. Because to have a share in Jesus means to have a share in that same self-giving love. The commandment we receive on Maundy Thursday is to love the world, love one another as he loved, to love to the very end. And the good news is, because our share is in Christ, this love is not something we have to generate within ourselves. It is a gift we receive by grace, a gift we receive from the one who loved to the end of all possible loves. The commandment given on Maundy Thursday is a command to love like Jesus, a love that is bent over, a love that bends down to the ground, that isn't afraid of being vulnerable or embarrassed, naked or intimate, And most difficult of all, a love that loves even in the midst of betrayal and denial and running away. The commandment we receive on Maundy Thursday is to know, to see one another, and to know the brokenness in others, in ourselves, and in the world. And through the power of God, to love anyway, loving to the very end. Amen.